Distinguished guests, friends, family. At first, when I saw the title of the theme this year, Communities Together, Build a Bridge, I was unsure whether my own story could really help to illustrate the point. So extreme were the circumstances. So let me start there and see where it leads us. In 1939, my town Bielsko was very close to the German and Czechoslovakian frontiers. I had a wonderful childhood. In winter, there was skiing and ice skating. In summer, everyone went hiking and climbing the nearby mountains. But when the German armies invaded, the ethnic Germans turned against their Polish and Jewish neighbors. As old resentments resurfaced, the Polish citizens turned against the Jewish population. We fled to Lublin. Soon we were herded into the ghetto, which was horrendously overcrowded. Living conditions were unbearable. There were roundups, deportations, starvation, and then came epidemics of typhus and cholera. My mother made contact with a Catholic priest in the city and risked her life to teach English in return for food in the church. We attempted 5 different escapes, and eventually we succeeded. And for some months, we sheltered in Żabia Wola, a tiny Jewish community south of Lublin. In 1942, deportation was imminent, and we escaped into the forest. We lived in the wild for weeks, and eventually made our way back to Lublin to the vicarage of the Catholic priest, Father Krasovsky. He saved our lives. He obtained non-Jewish documents for us and worked out a survival plan. Mother and I were going to join the non-Jewish Poles who were rounded up for forced labor in Germany. But we had to part from my father, who was later betrayed and was executed. My mother and I went to a collection point where the SS were holding the non-Jewish Poles. Our new documents were accepted, and we were sent to an ammunition plant, IG Farben, in Germany. I believe we would have survived the war there, but we were betrayed by a fellow worker who became suspicious of our Polish accents. We were charged with entering Germany illegally, having documents that did not belong to us, and being Jewish. Each offense carried the death penalty. We were lined up to be executed by firing squad. At the last moment, our death sentence was commuted to life imprisonment in Auschwitz, and we were delivered to the gates of hell. There, we were still to be interrogated. On arrival, we were stripped, whipped, shaved, and tattooed. From then on, we had no names. I was now number 39934, my mother 39933. For many months, I was assigned to dozens of different work groups, hard labor work groups. My mother worked in the camp sick bay. In the spring of 1944, I was transferred to work near the gas chambers, the center of extermination in Auschwitz-Birkenau. For 8 months, I worked in the doomed Canada Commando, sorting clothes and belongings stripped from the Jews murdered in the nearby gas chambers. Now, during this period, I witnessed more than 500,000 people, 500,000 people sent to their death. We knew roughly how many were murdered because we could count the trains, the number of trains that would arrive daily. And we also knew how many the SS could cram into the cattle trucks. On 11th November 1944, my mother and I, together with about 100 other women, were evacuated to a camp in southeastern Germany. There was almost no food, but I had a savior. A German civilian woman working next to me placed herself in grave danger by bringing me scraps of food. She saved us from certain death. By this time, the Russian army was advancing fast and liberation seemed close. But on the 18th of February, 1945, we were driven out on foot into the wilderness without food and barefoot in the snow. Our column was joined by thousands of other women from neighboring camps. But every day we were fewer because women collapsed from sheer exhaustion, lack of food, froze to death, or were shot. We covered on foot almost 100 miles over a mountain range until we reached Trautenau, a camp in Czechoslovakia. There, we were loaded into open coal trucks and began a nightmare journey over 6 days and seven nights until we reached Porta Westfalica in the northwest of Germany. We few who survived were taken to work in a cave 11 shafts underground in an electronics factory. A few weeks later, we were evacuated again. We were driven into almost airtight container wagons. Soon, we were gasping for air and many had suffocated. Out of the 100 that were evacuated with me from Auschwitz, only 12 of us were still alive when we were liberated by the Americans who saved us from certain death. Immediately, my mother and I began work as interpreters, first to the British military government and then to the Quaker relief teams. Following a year and a half in displaced persons camps, we were given permits to come to the UK. In September 1946, Britain was still recovering from the war. It was a time of harsh austerity, but people who thought they knew what suffering meant were unwilling to listen to survivors. I had no practical help, no financial support, no welfare, nothing. Even within the Jewish community, we were told not to speak of our experiences in case we upset others. Decades passed before the community recognized that actually there's a need for lessons to be learned from the Holocaust. So let me come back to our theme today. What does it mean to build a bridge? Well, I experienced the worst and the best of what this theme is all about. I saw the tiny village of Zabiawola annihilated. I was sent to Auschwitz because I was betrayed by a fellow worker. But I would not have survived if the Catholic priest had not supplied us with non-Jewish documents. We probably would have starved to death in the factory if the German woman hadn't risked her life to bring us a few morsels of food. And I would never have survived the death march if my friends hadn't carried me when I sustained a head injury from a rifle butt. In Auschwitz-Birkenau, inmates were segregated and categorized. The SS deliberately set inmates against one another. However, it was almost impossible to survive on your own, and strong bonds were common, and mutual support always saved lives. Never again shall there be such a crime. Brave words, indeed. The future can only be secured if communities are prepared to set aside all political, cultural, and religious differences and work together. Communities need to build bridges and stand together. That is the best way to prevent a repetition in future. Holocaust Memorial Day is an opportunity to build bridges between communities, to unite, to remember, to reflect, and to learn. Building bridges, finding common ground, embracing all differences must be the answer. Thank you.